Hey, welcome to episode 47 of Thomas and the Bible. Well, some news items. Apparently we all are not raptured. We haven't been raptured like when one guy said we would be. Surprised. Very surprised. I really thought that would happen. I want to make a point, and I'll probably make it on my other podcast too. I love how there are normal Christians that are like showing up talking about how the rapture didn't happen and even before, you know, before the supposed rapture, going on talk shows and being like, this guy's an idiot, you know, like having higher ground over this guy because he claims to know exactly when the end of the world is coming and judgment day is coming. I just think it's funny when you step back and look at like all those other Christians, all they're saying is like, look, the judgment day is happening, but we don't know when. Oh, this guy's an idiot for thinking we know when. It's like that's any more stupid than just thinking there's going to be a judgment day at all. That's pretty much like, I guess putting an exact date on it is a little bit stupider, but like, it's really not like most of the stupid is done once you start talking about there even being some sort of judgment day and Jesus returning. I just love how they're all coming on like, yeah, of course judgment day is going to happen, but there's no way we're going to win. This guy is nuts. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's just funny to think like, I guess normal people who are not atheists or whatever, I guess accept that and are like, yeah, that's the smart way to think. Like thinking we know when the judgment day is coming is stupid. Anyway, also, okay, you may have noticed that this is like being released on a Wednesday. All right. So first thing is thank you. I guess my biggest fan is Pissed in Spokane is the name that's on iTunes. So thank you for commenting that the website is back up. But geez, you're really not going to cut me a break. I hope I can keep doing regular podcasts. Yeah, I have been late because of that website hack and actually because of hockey playoffs really is another thing and lots of other things are happening. But I technically have not missed one because I did two that one week. But I did actually mean that one to be just a twofer. Like I wasn't trying to like load up that one week and then not do one. So when I do this one and then do one on Thursday, which will be released Friday, which is my normal day, then I will be all set and caught up, and I completely intend to do that. So, yeah, I'm definitely sticking to this. We'll get through this in like 10 years. We'll be through this whole stupid Bible. But, okay, I think that's it. The reading is, thanks a lot for commenting on iTunes. I appreciate it. The reading is pretty good today. I like it. It's kind of funny, as always. So, chapter 25, Deuteronomy. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. That's a brilliant bit of philosophy there. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judges shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. So that's a little confusing language, but from the notes, pretty much it sounds like, look, we're not animals. We're not going to beat him more than 40 times. I mean, 40 is the limit. That's a good, you know, civilized number of beatings, like 40 stripes. That's what... what civilized people do. I mean, we're not going to do above 40. That's just barbaric. Come on. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Oh, so we're done with the beatings bit then. Is that... well, are we going to come back to that later? Is that... just like, how did he get... all of a sudden he's talking about beatings, and then he's like, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. What is... what? okay, that's... Just ADD thought there. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, wow, this part's good. the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother to her. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing this law was dreamed up by some guy who really wanted his brother's wife and like, I don't know, killed him or had him, you know, something like that. And then he's like, look, I don't like this any more than you do, but you know, it's what God has ordered. We've got to get together here. It's just, it's unfortunate, but that's how it goes. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up into the gate of the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders. This gets interesting here. And loose his shoe from off his foot, because, yeah, that's okay. And spit in his face. With the shoe, or what's the shoe? Is his face on his foot? What was the shoe part of that? And shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. Mm-hmm. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. And I didn't make any of that up. That all was 100% real. So, the brother, I guess, doesn't have a choice in the matter. And I think this part was dreamed up by some girl who really wanted her husband's brother and had killed him or something. I'm gonna move on. There's better stuff to get to, and that's just kind of ridiculous. Like, you just take off his shoe and then spit in his face. It's like, okay, I guess. When men strive together one with another, and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him. And I'll explain this later, because that did sound confusing. And putteth forth her hand, and taketh him by the secrets. You must know what that means. Then thou shalt cut off her hand, and thine eye shall not pity her. Well, that's so much for any of those tough female characters we see, like Sandra Bullock playing from time to time. That pretty much didn't exist back then. Yeah, so it said, like, this is an oddly specific commandment. It said, like, if two men are fighting and one man's wife comes over and sees that her husband's losing, and so she goes up and grabs the other guy's balls, I guess, his secrets. I don't know why are the Bible people so embarrassed by, like, reproductive organs. I don't understand. If taken by the secrets, don't tell what parts. Then you have to cut off her hand. It's like, who? This must have happened a lot for him to write a law about it, I guess. Like, man, this is happening time after time. What do we do in this situation, Moses? Thou shalt not have in thy bag. And moving on, Moses says he does. It's just moving on. Different. He's on another thought now. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth to thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Mm-hmm. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. Yeah, don't remember, and I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. How he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, and when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Did he have diverse weights in his backpack or something? What is the connection to what he said? How did he get to this? I don't know. I can't follow this. This is too difficult. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Oh, so I guess Moses had just moved on to a completely new, you know, terrible commandment, which was to kill all the Amalekites because he apparently did something wrong. So Moses really, really had attention deficit disorder and just continually just like going down like, how many beatings is appropriate? 40. Okay. So don't, when you're plowing a field with an ox, don't muzzle it. Okay. And it shall be. Chapter 26. And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God hath given thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that thou, that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and inflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with a great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. This is... Just pause, stretch. This is a really boring chapter. There's nothing... I gotta be honest with you. I read through this once, and I didn't understand why it exists or why I should care about it. Nothing jumped out on me. It just is boring. And, you know, I'm thinking while I'm reading this, like, I hope this doesn't happen with every person who takes up the, you know, charge of writing for the Bible. Because Moses, I think Moses, and I don't know if this is anybody else holds this opinion or everybody does or what, because I don't really care. But I think that Moses must have just figured that he was going to be the end of this religion, right? I mean, he must have been like, all right, I'm writing a book, I'm starting religion. And then he's sort of getting senile, apparently, based on his scatterbrain commandments. But he's just sort of writing out, like, for the last entire book, which is just pages and pages, I've been reading for, like, a month. He's just repeating and, like, resumming up and just reemphasizing. Like, he must have just thought, well, you know, and I'll die, and then they'll just follow this, so I might as well, you know, put a bunch of stuff in there. So I'm wondering if, like, whoever else takes up the mantle of the Bible and starts writing for it, you know, is going to have that same thing. Do we have to go through this every time? Because I really don't think I could take that. This is pretty bad. So, and he brought us into this place, and okay. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hath given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee. And unto thine house, thou and the Levite, and the stranger that was among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates, and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and mine kampf, and also have given them unto a Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all the commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof. This is like, I guess this is a perfect example. This is like the Goofus and Gallant of, I don't know if people know that, or if just me or everybody does, but anyway, like Gallant, Goofus will do something stupid, and then Gallant will do the same thing except better. So this is like the Gallant version of you know, and they're these two dorky kids. There's got to be 20 years old, 30, 40, 50 years. It could be a million years old, actually. It's like one of those things like those, every person thinks that like Snow White came out when they were little because it's been around since like the 20s. Anyway, it's one of those kind of things. Maybe, I don't know. But this is all that's happening. It seems like as God is, Moses is saying like, look at this guy. He's a shining example of let me just tell you what a good person would do here. He's saying, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and has also given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all the commandments which thou hast commanded me. I am so good. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened unto the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest to our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. It's like, that's... This day the... I don't know if it's still this guy or what. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Be like this guy. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Not like Goofus. Wah, wah. He's being tortured in hell right now. Doh. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. That's sort of like a compliment, but an insult. It's sort of like an underhanded compliment. You're my peculiar people, but you're my peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made. Well, he made them all, but why do you... Never mind, I say that every time. In praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. Okay, that chapter was boring. But I think it maybe gets better. Okay, chapter 27. Okay, it's going to be a better chapter. That chapter was pitiful. I think the last chapter is really the good one. This is the second to last one, so we'll see. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. I don't know if that's how you spell plaster, and I'm just an idiot and never noticed, but it's definitely P-L-A-I-S-T-E-R. Which maybe that's like normal plaster, and everybody's going to be like, he said plaster, what a dumb idiot Bible reading fool. But I'm just going to say plaster, just for fun, because it's fun to say plaster. And what do you plaster it with, everybody? Plaster. Plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go into the land which the Lord giveth thee. A land that floweth with what? Milk and plaster. No, milk and honey. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with milk and honey. And there thou shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God. An altar of stones. That seems fitting. What if he said, like, ye shall build an altar? An altar of titanium alloy. Like something that's like futuristic. He's a timeless God, you know. You would expect that he'd every once in a while just put something like that in there, and they're like, we don't know what that is. We can't do that. Oh, well, just write a note to the people of the future to do it. That's fine. That would be a good proof that he existed. But wouldn't you know it? They're in, like, I don't know if this is technically the Stone Age. No, it's definitely not. It's the Iron Age, the Bronze Age. I get them all mixed up, like the Tinfoil Age, Copper Age, Silver Age. I just named metals. And then, but anyway, whatever age they're in, wouldn't you know it, God had them build an altar of stones, something that could have been found back then easily and easily done. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord, thy God, of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And the people at that point, who were barely listening, by the way, must have perked up and been like, what? What? Oh, no, 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 no. Holy, what? We have to write the words of what law? All this entire law, this whole book has been law. You've just been speaking law that nobody... You want us to write all that in stones? Are you serious? Are you serious right now? Was this a test to make sure we were listening? Because we're listening now. That's good. You can take that back now. Do you have any idea how long that would take? Do you have any idea? It's taking me like 6 months to just read this, and they have to carve this all in stone. That's rough for them. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying that they're probably still working on it right now. They probably haven't even finished. They're like just about toward the end. They're like, God, oh, that Moses was a wordy bitch. Let me tell you, it's finally almost getting, we have this huge altar that's like this massive, like wall that just spirals around that they're writing on. They're like, we should have used a smaller font. And Moses charged the people, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah, and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal. There it is. Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image, a graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. It's like, setteth light by his father and mother. Are the people just saying, what does that mean? Are the people just saying amen because, like, at this point, peer pressure is sort of taking over and they're just whatever groupthink is going on. It's like one guy's whispering, like, hey, what does he mean, setteth light by his father and mother? Is that bad, or is that something, I just want to know, is that something I always do? I mean, sometimes I bring them candles. I don't understand. Guy's like, yeah, I don't know, but I just... Everybody said amen, so it must be something bad. So just, and based on the sound tone of his voice, I figure it must be bad. So I'm just, oh, I'm mad, you know, just amen. Yeah, cursed, just go. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. All the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow. And all the people shall say, what? Plaister. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, amen. Amen. I wonder, is this like one thing? Is it cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he hath uncovered his father's skirt? Like one thought? Or is that... Because that might be okay in my book, to be honest with you. Hold on. I know this sounds weird. But, I mean, what if this guy discovered that his father is really a crossdresser and closeted gay and all that? Or, well, I guess it's not necessarily, but say he was. Because that's, what else can he mean by uncovereth his father's skirt? I don't know what, I'm not sure what else that could mean. So he discovers his father is a crossdresser, not interested in women. And, he feels really bad for his stepmom, you know, like she never gets any appreciation, does all the work around the house. He just, if this isn't a legitimate moral quandary, then it's most likely a porno I saw at some point. But it could be both. Could be both of those things. Just think about that. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Well-mannered beasts or poorly mannered beasts who eat with their hands. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. People shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. People shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that does not fash... And then, sorry. Cursed be he that does not fashion false idols. People shall say, Amen. Oh, you almost got us. And all at once. That all at once they'll all say that. They'll say, Amen, oh, Amen, oh. You know, like, so, yeah, that's... I would... If I were giving this sermon, I would sneak one bad one in there just to check people. Like, cursed be he that does not lieth with his sister. Everyone's like, hey, oh, shit. Just multiply times divided by three. How many knots? Take, what's the factor? Not, how many knots? Let's see, logarithm of pi, negative I to the... Amen. Oh, you're right. Where am I? Where was I? Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. Because you need to... Don't accept rewards for slaying innocent people. You should be slaying innocent people out of the goodness of your heart. Everybody. So cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth... Yeah, when you slay an innocent person and someone goes to pay you, you should be like, look, your money's no good here. It's done. Look, what's that's done? We'll just move on. Buy me dinner sometime. It's cool. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do to them. People shall say... Hey, you know, it would have been funny if it was the opposite. Cursed be he who hath said amen to everything I say, including this. Oh, amen. I don't know. I'm not sure what you would say. What's the opposite of amen? Okay. Last chapter. And buckle in, because this is one of the longest chapters in the history of the Bible. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. What if you don't want any blessings to come on you? And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. I'm just wondering, what if you don't want any blessings coming on you? That's not really how I operate. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of the body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall... Albertsons? Blessed shalt there be thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. This chapter is taking a turn for the Dr. Seuss. Blessed shalt thou be on a bun. Blessed shalt thou be in the sun. Blessed the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They'll just be smitten with you. They'll be like, I like those Israelites. I just can't stop thinking about them. They're so cute, those Israelites. That'd be debilitating if you're an army and then all of a sudden you're smitten with the before their faces. Look at you. Why do I have this axe in my hand? What was I doing with that? Here, let me put that down. Oh, you guys. Oh, I am smitten with you. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. What if it's one enemy? How does he do that? It's like he's required. God will make it happen. He'll like he'll split his molecules and they'll go off seven different ways and then like join back up. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, and if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth. Oh no, that was a period. Oh, that dare they get me from time to time. Damn it! If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Period. Ways. End of sentence. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by name of the Lord. And what by the name? Thou art called by the name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord, those that aren't smitten with you will be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the loom, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Not his crappy treasure, it'll be his good stuff. It's really good treasure. The heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And our Christian nation has definitely followed that little commandment of the Bible. We don't owe anybody anything, right? We just, people borrow from us, right? Isn't that how old US of A operates? I'm pretty sure. I could look it up. A couple clicks of a mouse. But I'm pretty sure we have no debt. I'm just going to just move it. You can email me if I'm wrong on that one, but we don't lend. We don't borrow from anybody. And the Lord shall make the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. And if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee to this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any words which I command me this day to the right hand or to the left, or go after other gods to serve them. So at this point, as usual, I would have been killed 80 times in the Bible prior to this, if not like 800 times, if not 8,000 times. Not 9,000 times, though. I would have been saying at this point, God, this... And I feel like I made this joke before, so I... The Bible never repeats itself, so it must just be just deja vu on my part. But I would have been saying, God, I'd say, I'm going over the paperwork here, and this looks like a pretty good deal. I mean, we have to listen to you talk a lot, and that took some getting over, just thinking about our bargaining chips here. On one hand, that's pretty rough, having to listen to you say all this stuff. But we have to be locked into a terribly, prehistoric moral system and judicial system. But in return, we're getting a few perks. So I think this is a good deal. Sounds like an obvious good deal to me. It's like, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake. And I would have been like, God, let me stop you there. I don't think you need to do this. I'm not sure this is why that's important. I mean, we've all, let's just look around to show hands. That's everybody. I think we're pretty happy with just the benefits package that you've already outlined. I'm not sure you need to necessarily, level some threats at us for not following you. I would imagine that, given that you've already outlined incredible benefits for following you, anyone who doesn't follow you, I guess, just is misinformed or something. I'm not sure what it's going to do. And then Moses is like, hey, hold on. God has given me all... Look, he gave me a lot, and I already wrote it down. Can I just say it? You're like, okay, I guess. These are the curses. The following curses will be set upon you if you don't obey the Lord. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall thy be thy basket and thy store. Not sure what the basket did, but cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Oh, I get it. He's just repeating everything he said blessed for before, right? Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Cursed shalt thou be on a bun, cursed shalt thou be in the sun. Just might as well. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing and vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. And once again, I would have been like, all right, well, God, I understand you just wanted to get that little bit, sort of you wanted to vent, you know, and get that little warning out there for people who don't follow you, but you paint a pretty vivid picture, you know, of what happens if we don't follow you and involve ultimate destruction, I think, at the end. So this seems a pretty good place to end, right? Just go ahead and we're all ready to sign the paperwork here. We're with you. So go ahead and consider this Israelite signed on and ready to join the team there. God's like, well, just a few more things. Just a few more things. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off thy land. And whither thou goest to possess it, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come. Well, that'll probably punish most, like pretty much everyone on the earth, I think, if he did that. From heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And I would have been like, wow, I already signed back. You know, I was already signed on back when you were just talking about the good thing. So I think I've let you go on here, God, but we're good. Just go, wrap it up. We're good to go. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray from them. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. It's like, wait a minute, didn't we die from the first part? I'm pretty sure we're already dead at this point, right? Is this all after we die? And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in the darkness, and thou shalt prosper and not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be the only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and another man will lie with it. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and another man will lie with that, the grapes. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof, and then another man will lie with it. Thine ash shall be shaken and violently and taken away before thy face, and not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies. Thou shalt have none to rescue them. And another man will lie with them. He just puts that after everything. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long. And there shall be no might in thy hand. And another man will lie with it. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, and then another man will lie with them. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Again, I'm pretty sure this is all enough. Like, I was... There's enough threats, like 80 threats ago. Why? Why? What is this? The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the nations with which the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You can eat the worms, though. That's fine. That's cool. Go ahead and do that. Why would we still even be trying to do any of these things at this point? Like, I would not have started, like, I would not have found myself in this situation where basically I'm dead and everything's going wrong and my people are sold, you know, my family's sold and everything, another man's lying with everything. Like, I would not think, like, well, let me try planting a vineyard. That might, see if that works. Just try it, just see what happens. Like, no, not that either. You can't do that. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil. You can cook with it, though, that's fine. For thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters. Well, that's good. But thou shalt not enjoy them. Well, that's not that bad, really. I gotta do the fun part. For they shall go into the captivity. All thy trees and fruit... Oh, wait, I mean, I thought another man was lying with my wife. How is it that I'm going to beget sons and daughters if another man is going to... How does that work? It's like, no, those things will happen somehow. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. I gotta stop again. I just feel like I'm having a little deja vu here, for one, because I'm pretty sure I've gone through this before. For another, God, you're really starting to overdo it a bit here, like to the point where it's making you look a little bit crazy to people who are already going to follow you. They were fine, but now we were with you a couple days back when you just started talking about the benefits of following you and all that. It's just really... He shall lend to thee... and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. And someone will call heads or tails, and it will be heads, because you're the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and shall overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. For they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness. Oh, now I get it. He wants us to serve. Oh, is that what this is about? Oh, okay. I was trying to see what he was getting out there, but apparently God wants you to serve him. That's, I didn't, yeah, okay, no, now he's, looking back, I see it now, it makes sense, I feel kind of dumb for not getting that. And with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth. And another man will lie with that eagle before you get to take it as a pet. A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance which shall not regard the person of the old, nor shew favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks, of thy sheep until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee and all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustedest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee and all thy gates throughout all the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. All right, so God is all-knowing, right? So the only reason he must be going on this long, the only conclusion we can make is that there must have been some retard Israelite somewhere along the line who was not convinced by the first 82 curses, but then he heard, like, wait a minute, they're going to besiege my gates? Hold on a second. I wasn't going to follow the Lord. I was fine with all these punishments until then, but you didn't mention the besieging the gates part. That's all right. I guess I'll go ahead and follow the Lord. I get it. I get it. Okay, you've made your point. There must be. It's the only reason he's still going on. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord hath given thee in the siege and the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his child, which he shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that come out from it between her feet, toward her children which she shall bear. Still going on. For she shall eat them for want of all things, secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. There's a part beyond, far beyond, simply going too far. And it's way past overdoing it. And it's 20,000 leagues further than being just excessive. It's a point where it's not even threatening anymore. It's just absolutely puzzling. It's like everyone at this point just must have been just genuinely shocked at God's ability to just come up with threats and his feeling that he needed to continue coming up with all these threats. They must have just been, after he's done, they must have been sitting there just speechless, like, okay, God, I guess we'll go ahead and follow you then. Just a little, it's a lot to process. I can't think of just why that was necessary that you go through all that. So, but I mean, yeah, we're still with you, I guess. You know, I gotta say, is it, we're free to accept God's love, right? Like that was God, according to all you sophisticated Christians, God had to make us free to choose to love him. But then he had to write in his Bible all this, like, pages of curses if you don't choose to love him. Like, what kind of a choice is that? Look, you're free. You're free to do whatever you want. But if you don't do exactly what I want, I will go on for pages and pages about what I'm going to do to you. But you're free. You're free to do that. You're free. That's freedom. Free will. I created it. Yep. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, wonderful plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. And he really did repeat that. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. It's like, all right, yeah, okay. Also, every sickness, yeah, and which thou wast afraid of, every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Yeah. Okay, we get it. Okay, I get it. And he shall be left with few and no, yeah, I get it. Whereas you was as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. It shall come to pass, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, to bring you to naught. Yeah, okay, I get it. Thank you. I understand. Then ye shall be plucked off the land whither thou goest to possess it, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Yeah, okay, I understand. Yeah, all right, yeah, okay. Are we done? Can we... Is this... Oh, is he done? Did he? And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and a failing of eyes, and a sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. Oh, sorry, are you still threatening me? I can't... Okay, fear something like... In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. That's a good one. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with the ships, by the way whereof I spake thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen. Even the men will be bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. I like that. You're going to be sold to your enemies, and they won't even buy you. Oh, wow. So that was all one chapter. 68 verses I just read, and they were almost entirely threats. If God, really, do I even need to say this? Does anyone read this? Does any Christian read this? Like, really, do you really believe that a God, like, decided to put all that? Was like, I need to make sure everybody's taking me seriously right now. So I'm gonna do pages of threats if they don't listen to me. There's no way. There's no way anyone could believe that. It's not, they must, sorry. I don't know what it is. They must have, they must have not read this part. I just want... There are little obscure parts I would just love every Christian to have read just because they're so stupid that it's not even that they're like... This isn't like, you know, contradictory necessary... Well, it is. Everything is. But it's not... I'm trying to think of a good way to put that. It's just so commonplace and like so clearly childish and not godly that it's like... Why would he put this in there? There's no... anyway, all right, well, I'm done with this, and this reading was really annoying, but anyway, yeah, I'll be back shortly for the next podcast and be all caught up and keep up, so thanks for listening, and review me on iTunes and all that if you haven't already, and thanks a lot, and see ya.